Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us with another live episode of Love and Life. I'm your host, Roger Love. I sure am. And I am joined this morning by my lovely co-host, Miss Kiki. Good morning, Kiki.
Good morning, Roger Love.
How are you today, dear?
I am wonderful today. How are you?
Oh, my goodness. I'm feeling fine for the most part, honey. I'm just like, you know, still getting up into the day. And then I got to get my mind wrapped around going somewhere today. So I'm like, yeah.
You
got to
go I thought yesterday you had to.
No. Yesterday was my day to do absolutely nothing.
And how did that work out for you?
I did absolutely nothing, girl. Wonderful.
And I started to call you because I had a question, and I actually get off the air. But that, what?
Yeah. I don't know why people keep thinking, but you know what? I do know why they keep thinking that I just work every day, but they don't know exactly when I don't work because I'm always working, it seems. Yeah, but yeah. Yeah, but yeah.
Wow.
But, yeah, so, girl, oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness, yeah, this is just me getting up out of the bed not too long ago. So, yeah. Oh, goodness. All right. But, yes, let's
get started. Well, I got up because I was going to go to church this morning, and then the weather said, nah, not happening today. So,
no, ma'am. Is it still raining out there with y'all?
Yes, it is. Oh,
my goodness. My. And was it raining really yesterday, too?
Yeah. But the city, it actually cleared earlier than everybody else. So we got a chance to dry out. So the weather we're getting today, our grounds are not as saturated as the North Shore. See, the North Shore kept getting hit. And that's why people are getting stuck on the roofs and
flooded out and stuff.
Yeah.
Bless
so it. The South Shore didn't get it as bad. We got hit hard, but we didn't get hit as bad because we had breaking points where we could dry out. So our pumps, you know, served us right this time. So.
Mm-hmm. And you know it is beginning of hurricane season, isn't it?
Hurricane season started in June for us.
Oh, in June. Well, see, I live in Georgia.
This is our peak season.
I don't be knowing no more. I just know normally.
Yeah, this is our peak season.
Right. Doesn't matter. I just know that it's generally around this time is when you start seeing them pop up everywhere at this point.
Right.
Bless
it. Yeah, it starts in June, but our peak season is August and September.
Mm-hmm.
And every time it gets closer to Katrina, everybody always gets in a panic. So.
Of course, and you're going to see all the water being sold off all the shelves and stuff again, and it's like, bless your heart, signing.
Well, no, they don't go to that extreme anymore.
Really?
Really. People just pretty much evacuate now.
Oh, they just
they don't try to do all that
live through
stuff. They have realized that personal property is going to be here. It's about saving our lives, and, you know, we come back and deal with whatever after.
Saving lives, so, having insurance, amen.
Right. So it's no more that when you used to walk in the stores and you realize, oh, a hurricane must be coming because there's nothing on the shelves.
Right.
People have realized if they drive out of Louisiana, it's not going to fall into a body of water like they did before Katrina. A lot of people did not evacuate because they didn't think there was nothing else besides New Orleans. But after Katrina, they got to see other places, it broadened their horizons, and now people travel often now.
Mm.
So it's cool about just getting up and leaving.
Yeah, not to mention the fact that it still don't seem like, you know, New Orleans is still just not the place that we once knew for me. You know, it just seems so much different now to where it's like, yeah, it is what it is at this point for a lot of people, I think. At least with my family, because, you know, they decide to up and leave them and go wherever, child. They'll go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It is what it is. But, yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, dear.
Well, that's pretty much why people are looking at our weather and our tropics.
Hmm.
But it is what it is.
Yes, ma'am.
And I guess I could get started on the show.
Yeah, but, you know, hey, yeah, we do. That's what we do.
All right. We're going to give a congratulations to Ray J and Princess Love. They are now officially married. Ray J and his fiance, Princess Love, the two that got into a fight in New Orleans, that she went to jail for him when they got into that big old fight, and he pressed charges against her. They got into another altercation where he pushed her in a pool. Yeah, well, he has been caught cheating on her numerous times.
Mm-hmm.
Now he say he's ready for all the foolery to stop.
Right.
He just wants his ride or die. So
yeah.
They had a beautiful wedding. She made a beautiful bride.
Let me be the one to say it then, Chaka, but don't seem like you're going to say it. Girl, the things people do for fame, it's like real.
Go ahead.
The things that people do for fame is just it saddens me sometimes. It's like, really, people? All of the stuff that you, I mean, I don't even watch Love and Hip Hop. I don't. So for me to hear about this stuff all the time, about the stuff that they actually battled and went back, it's like, really? And then you decide to marry this person, all you know, to do it, and it's like, okay, yeah. And then what? It's like, okay, y'all done got married now, and it's like, okay, the boy still has his, I guess, coins or whatnot, so yeah, and then you basically still trying to keep your face out there in the limelight, just doing whatever. And the next thing, what you're going to have pop up and have a child or something, I'm guessing, yeah, just to solidify that, yeah, we tied together for life, and then what? It's like, yeah, saddens me, girl, it just saddens me. This is not what you want to see as the hope of a loving relationship where you got to go through all of this foolishness just because people want to do what the hell they want to do instead of really actually being committed to somebody. And then you done been through all of that, so when it still happens, it's like you're still going through it, and it's like, okay, you can't get mad at the person for doing what the hell they've been doing. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. The things people do for fame, honey.
I'm hoping that, because I know Prince really loves Rachel.
Mm-hmm.
He, at one of the reunion shows or whatever, and I know a lot of that stuff is staged, but the fights are not. You can't stage a fight. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you can stage it. You can set it up to where you know you're going to start swinging.
Yeah, but there will be somebody in the middle. But when contact hit or whatever, you know that's not staged.
Because
they're not going to let it get to the point where.
All you got to do is agree not to hit me in the face. Or you know, do something else, you know, yeah, but they can.
Yeah, the way this fight went, it didn't, yeah, it was more than that. It was cuts and pulls and all that. But Ray J had he was arguing with another girl on the stage, his ex, and he looked at Princess, he said, get up. And she got up and started fighting the girl. And I'm like,
really?
No, don't. Yeah.
Thicker.
Yeah, that was pretty much what it was. Because him and Tierra, everybody thought was going to be married because they kept on back and forth. And when Princess came in the picture, he, like, had her to be his tag dog. She was just, like, always had his back. So I guess that's why he didn't marry her. And I wish them the best. I just hope that she don't fall for the foolery of Ray J.
It already, child. She got married. Girl, this is the thing. That's why I said the things people do for fame, yeah, they will go through all of that, child, and she's been through all of that and still going to probably go through more of that, child. I just don't put no faith in it.
No, I hope she the one put her foot down and was like, because at one point she had left him. So I'm hoping that when she put her foot down and he asked to marry her and they got married, that she decides to not take it foolishness from him and make him understand who she is and that he needs to love her the way she needs to be loved.
My thing is, if it's all about that, child, then look, when she left him, that would have been it. But now you're getting married to this man. It's like, okay, yeah, all you basically did was just say, well, you know what? Okay, this is what I'm going to take from you now, because he's actually saying, well, I want to marry you. And when you marry somebody, that don't mean that they're going to actually change doing what the hell they've been doing. They're actually saying, well, you know what? Okay, well,
I totally agree with that. But what I'm saying is I hope that she understands that he has to cater to her as much as she caters to him. Yes, we understand that they got into the situation. Their dating relationship was kind of rocky, but she did make a stand and say she did not want to be with him just dating him because of all the rocky stuff that they've been through. She wanted to actually be his wife, and he had to be her husband. He did propose. He did buy her a house. He did try to step up. He understood that she was not trying to settle. All I'm saying is I hope she just doesn't get into the rut that, okay, I'm married, so I have to take it. I hope she gets into the understanding that the same way you made him propose to you is the same way you have to make him act right. And that's pretty much my thing on that.
In other words, you're trying to ask her to actually make sense of stuff, child, and actually do stuff that a common sense person would actually do.
Well, she actually did. She got him to marry her. Tierra couldn't get him to marry her. The other little girl he was running with couldn't get him to marry her. She did. She was done with him. She was moving on. She's a pretty girl. She knew she was a pretty girl. She was ready to walk away. He bought her the house, and she was like, yeah, the house is nice. And he was like, move in with me. She was like, yeah, I love it or whatever, but I don't want to just move in and just live in your house. Like, I don't want to just do that.
Mm-hmm.
So then he had to make that next step and ask her to marry him. She was not settling.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of them, they moved in. They tried to settle. She wasn't settling. So I just hope she keeps that same mentality once she's married. Yeah. All right, the next congratulations before we get into what the actual story is about. And I didn't write this, y'all. So anybody send me any hate emails, text messages, anything, I didn't do it. I'm reading from a blogger, okay? I'm going to put my disclaimer out now. Kiki didn't write it. A blogger did.
Mm-hmm.
It says, church sissy, Donnie McKirkland engaged to a woman. Child, please. Yes, Donnie McKirkland has just got engaged. Now, I didn't write that. And I told you who wrote it, Roger Love.
Yes, yes.
But I didn't write that. So don't come for me unless I send for you.
All I can say is, you know what? When I first saw that, not that post, but when I first saw what they just said, child, Donnie McKirkland being engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one of those kind of, came over me.
and let me say this. It was a gay male to actually call him a church sissy. I didn't do it. But they have been saying that a long time in the gay community, that Donnie McKirkland, because, you know, he had put on Facebook one time when the gay marriages came out, and he was pretty much telling people that they were going to go to hell if they married the same sex. And his boyfriend got underneath his post and called him out. So he deleted the whole post and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my thing is, I don't care who or what your beliefs are, but if you're still messing around with someone of the same sex,
that is contrary to what you claim your belief is.
All right. I'm going to let you preach on that one, Roger Love. Because that's how people, when you expect, even if no one else knows but you and your partner, if your partner is letting you hide them and deceive them and you pretty much judging them, by also judging yourself and making it seem like it's totally wrong, but you're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
How do you expect your partner to look at you? Like, can I trust you if you're going to sit on the pulpit and lie?
First of all, the partner shouldn't, I mean, you shouldn't be expecting nothing else but that, considering you in that situation. You know, that's just your situation. You with somebody who is clearly deep, deep, deep in the closet and delusional about their being. You know what I'm saying? So anything that comes out of that mouth, especially from the pulpit, child, I wouldn't take with a grain of salt because it, it is what it is. That's the situation you in. Now, when you decided to say, well, you know what, okay, I feel offended now, child, you should have been offended because you ain't never been claimed to begin with. You with somebody that's never even claimed, you probably don't even speak to you or acknowledge you when you actually in public. And so they say whatever it is they're going to say because they're actually trying to put this image out there. That's what's most important to them, their image, not you. So that's one thing. The other thing is that, child, look, again, this is Donnie McClurkin, honey. Okay, yeah, there's been speculations, been rumors and everything else about this man, and he's been saying a whole bunch of stuff trying to come to the contrary of all of that, but ain't nobody buying that foolishness. That's just like Tyler Perry and him having that fiance that, you know, they had a baby and all this other kind of stuff, and it's like, okay, yeah, queen.
So you don't think Tyler's straight either?
Did I hear
some nice shoes. Oh, Roger, love, you don't think Tyler Perry is...
Girl, please. I'm like, child, even if the hair that grows on his head don't come out straight, okay? I'm just saying.
Ooh.
Eyelashes ain't straight. His eyebrows ain't straight. I'm like, He might be able to stand straight up. I don't know. But, you know, I ain't never stand up in person. But.
Wow.
Mm.
Because he played Medea a little too well, so I might be questioning it. All right. Now, this story is going to lead to what the actual show is was about. But I just had to tell you about this people getting married because I was just shocked. Okay. The power of forgiveness. All right. And we're going to talk about three different types of relationships and can we get over certain things to forgive them. This last story is about Snoop Dogg and how he explains how he's now cool with Suge Knight. And for the people that don't know, Suge Knight tried to kill Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg, in so many words, said he killed Tupac and he was coming to kill me. Because business was personal for Suge Knight. But he forgives the CEO for trying to kill him. Back in the day, he went and got No Limit Records, Snoop Dogg. He got Master P and a whole clique of people to actually protect him from the now Suge Knight who's in jail. He, so many words, said he knew about Suge Knight killing Tupac. But he said a person has to live for what they actually do. And he karma is what he has to pay for, and he don't believe in kicking a man when he's down. Yes, he supports him while he's in jail. He talks to him. He gets, you know, help him out because the brother is down. And, you know, he said he will be less of a man to kick him while he's down because, you know, now Suge Knight is facing a lot of years in prison. And Snoop Dogg is right there by his side, the same man that tried to kill him. Now, not too many people would forgive someone that tried to kill them, not once, but multiple times. Suge Knight made a promise to Snoop Dogg that he was going to die. He said, just that, like I said, it looked in Pac's face when he died. I'm going to look at your face when you die. And Snoop Dogg went ahead and forgave him after all that was said because he said he knew he was from the streets. And Pac was just young and thought that that was just jokes that was being passed to him and Suge because they were riding together. And he thought they were friends but didn't realize that they wasn't. And Snoop Dogg said, so he realized that he understood that, but at the same time, he does not believe in kicking a man while he's down. Now, it takes a real person to, it takes a, takes, because I can forgive people.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, to that extreme of somebody looking me in my face mm-hmm. and telling me they're going to kill me, and then have tried multiple times to kill me, that I have to hire an entourage to protect me. When they roll up on you and shots ring out and this person is trying to gun for you, and you actually forgive them, because they could be, they letting you forgive them right now because they're down. They're
exactly.
So they want that forgiveness. They need that forgiveness.
But my thing
he
is,
wasn't forgiving
like,
you. He wasn't forgiving you when he was out and about and doing what he wanted to do. The power of forgiveness.
Well, if I might chime in for a moment, girl.
Please do.
Okay. Now, see, this is the thing when it comes to forgiveness. Forgiveness is all about letting things that happened go.
Mm-hmm.
True enough.
Mm-hmm.
But there's still other things that people try to lump into saying that this is all a part of forgiveness that's not actually a part of forgiveness. You don't have to actually deal with that person again just because you forgave them. You don't have to be in their face and act like nothing happened just because you forgave them. And as far as kicking somebody while they're down, first of all, child, this is the thing. Now, I wouldn't kick nobody while they're down either. This is the thing about getting down is what actually makes that a bigger difference. Because if things are happening to you because of things that you have no control over and you wind up having at a low point, that is what I consider a down person, you know? Because their circumstances is what got them there. It's not because of anything that they particularly did to actually garner that happening. But they're there. That's a down person. But for somebody to actually do a whole bunch of foolishness that led to their own demise, bitch, you're not down. They actually took you down and beat you down to get you down on that goddamn ground. So if you still getting hit, okay, it ain't because they're kicking you while you down. No, they kicked you to get you down there, and they're still kicking you. That's what that is. That's not being down. No, you just getting the reaps of your reward. You know what I'm saying? Keeping that what you sowed. That's what you're doing. You're not actually being kicked because you're down. No. Your attitude, your decisions, and your evil doing is what got you in that position. So for somebody to forgive you for what you've done to them, that's not just for the sake of, you know, saying that, okay, yeah, we cool again. No, bitch, no, 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 ma'am. I don't trust you no further than I can see you. And you know I'm speaking from experience.
Yes, yes.
Not the killing part.
Right.
But so much other stuff, yes. So to forgive somebody, that's really one thing. To get over and get done and past what they've done, that's, you know, that's what it is. But to say that I'm going to be around you and still be in your face and act like nothing happened, or we can move forward and you know, they fooled me once.
I mean, when you give somebody, you don't have to forget about it, but when you forgive somebody.
But that's the thing. It's not about forgetting about what they did, but that's what they try to make it seem like, that that's what they want you to do. Because for them, if you forgive me, then we can still be cool. But I'm
right,
like,
we
no,
can be cool.
No, I've tried that. That's what I'm saying. I've tried that. That's why I said, fool me once,
so you don't forgive
them. On two.
So you don't forgive them, actually.
No, I do forgive them for what they did. This is the thing. When you forgive somebody the first, see, it's a level of what it is that they actually truly do to say if you can truly trust somebody. My thing is like, okay, the only time I can be cool with you and really move forward with you is if I see that there's a genuine change of what it is that you are, you know, trying to accomplish. If I see that there's a genuine change in you, Or circumstances just make me say, well, let's see if we can truly actually, you know, go forward with each other. And if that happens, then that happens. But I've forgiven you for what you've done already. That's not the case. The case is now that, okay, I got to feel like I can trust you again, you know. So now that we're being around each other, let me see if I can really trust being around you again, because you have actually, you know, backstabbed me before, you know. And I've gotten over what you did, but I still don't know if I can trust you to not do it again. But if I see that you're trying to make changes and you're trying to do something different, then okay, then we can move forward and we can be cool and, you know, roll and, you know, rebuild. You know, that's how life goes. But when you get to the point where, okay, well, let me see, the first time you've actually fucked me over, excuse my language, but that's what you did, I'm like, okay, I don't know if I can trust you again. You know, you did what you did. But okay, if you see that you're doing something different and you're trying to do something different, then I'm like, okay, it's not that I got a problem with being around you to see, to give you that opportunity to redeem yourself, but just know, okay, I'm watching, I'm still looking to see for that change, you know? Because again, you don't forget what they did. You may forgive them for what they did, but you don't forget what they did. And if you start seeing the things happening again, that's the reason why you don't forget. Because now it's like they say, you fooled me once, shame on you. Fooled me twice, shame on me. Because I've seen the signs, you know. And that's what happens. And that's why I say you can forgive somebody, but you just don't have to deal with that person after you forgive them, because you don't know if you can trust them again. Trusting and forgiving is two different things. That's the thing. I can forgive you and move on with my life and go on over here and don't even think about you no more at this point. Especially if I've already tried to give you a second chance to actually redeem yourself and you failed at that. You know what I mean? You failed at it. Exactly. So that's the whole thing for me. Suge Knight is one of those people. He had done the same thing over and over and over to multiple different people. Would I think I would ever trust that man to be around him? Hell no, and I don't even know him like that. Never did with him, but do I want to be in his presence? Hell no. No, ma'am.
Okay, so that's in the, I mean, Snoop Dogg saw him down, and he forgave him. I don't think I can forgive somebody that tried to kill me. But what about, let's go into what we were talking about yesterday. We're forgiving friends. That, because I should say Suge and Snoop was more like business partners. They wasn't like friends. Let's go to what we were talking about yesterday. Friends, forgiving friends. And we used the scenario of The Real Housewives when NeNe had a production, or if you would have a production and a friend would actually, and we can't say Kenya Moore was really NeNe's friend when she gave this party, but all her friends who was there, who was actually her supporters, actually was at this party. Now, we know it's probably contracts and things like that, but if it wasn't, and like the scenario we used, how could you forgive your friends for not being at a certain thing and backing you or having your back?
And see, and that goes again to the whole thing. It's like you can forgive them and move forward and move on, but then you still, when it comes down to the point to where, you know what, you have, are they going to show up? Are they going to redeem themselves? Because then if they don't, it's becoming a pattern now. You know what I'm saying? So now it's starting to question, okay, are these bitches truly my friends? Because every time I have try to have something that's that important, they don't never step up. You know, that's what it becomes. See, the friends in their minds keep thinking about, well, what about all those other times where we did this and we did that and we did it? Yeah, but now that has changed apparently, because the last three times I done tried to have something, and these were monumental moments, not just like a little celebratory party for something. You know what I'm saying? It's a big monumental moment where, you know, I'm premiering my first night on Broadway. That's a, you know? Or if I'm to a red event for the premiere of my very first movie, that's a huge thing. Or if I'm actually going going to be performing at a concert on stage, my very first time. Those are huge moments for people. You know what I'm saying?
But some people, not just that, just, and those were big moments, but some people with friends, like, say they just decide, you know what, I want to have a dinner tonight, and they call a friend. And every time they call them, the friend, like, yeah, you know, I'm going to go. And when they go out to dinner, they don't show up or they have an excuse. And it's not as big as, you know, a performance or whatever, but that person is just never there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if that person would call them, they expect them to always be there, but they're not always there.
And see, and that goes along that same category. Because even with the small stuff, that's why I said it's like those things can build up. When you keep seeing the same thing happen over and over and over, it's like, okay, does this bitch even want to hang with me? For real. I've experienced that a lot. I've questioned that.
But what if they always call you to do something, but when you decide, oh, you know what? If they call you, say they call you on every other Saturday because you're off. And they're like, hey, Rod, let's go hang out and do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And you go every other Saturday, you know. You're like, okay, cool, because, you know, I'm off on Saturday, so I could give you every other Saturday. You know, it's cool. We're going shopping. We're going to hang out. We're going to do whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. But then, say, one of those Saturdays that is in between that every other Saturday, you decide, you know what? Last Saturday, we had a great time. I don't feel like getting up here and cooking. I wonder if they want to go and have a burger somewhere. And you pick up your phone and you call and you're like, hey, I know this is the every other Saturday, but, you know, I'm not doing nothing. You want to go have a burger? Well, I got this to do and that to do and that to do. The first time it might be okay.
Mm-hmm.
But a couple of Saturdays down the line, it happens again. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, last Saturday was a good Saturday because you've seen them every other Saturday. And you pick up and you call and you say, hey, let's go out and grab a burger. Just a couple of weeks down the line. And say, oh, no, I got this to do and that to do and that to do. Actually, they could because they have decided to take out every other Saturday to be with you. So it could be possible that when you call them on the Saturday in the middle, that they plan to have everything, you know, personal stuff done.
And
so do you feel slighted?
But see, that was the thing, though. I feel like, okay, if that's their case, because I know a lot of people that does that, like, you know, it's just those particular days that it's like when you have stuff to do, you try to do them when you can do them. And if those are your days off, like for me, I only get a Saturday off at this point now. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if I decide to do anything, it's going to probably be on a Saturday, whereas everybody else, they have other stuff that they try to do on Saturdays too. But if it happens to be that they're going to make plans on whichever Saturday that they're going to do it, then that's just a Saturday that they're going to be able to do it. So if I
mm-hmm.
call them on the other Saturday, then it's like they got stuff that they didn't do on the last Saturday that they would normally do that they decided to do on that Saturday. So that's one of those understandable things. It's just about scheduling. People can only do what they can do when they can do it, and I can get that.
Now, but see, what I feel totally different.
But what it comes to me, though, is if they truly don't actually have nothing to do, but they just don't want to do anything with you, you know?
But my thing is, okay, it says they plan every other Saturday. They make the plan of every other Saturday for us to do something. And if I decide, okay, one of my Saturdays, because in your case, it's your only day off.
Mm-hmm.
And I would feel slighted if I pick up the phone and call. Now, we could go when you planned it. Okay, we're going to be doing this and this and this when they plan it. And then when you decide, okay, I really want a burger, and you pick up the phone and you're like, hey, let's go get a burger. And they're like, nah, well, I got this and this and this to do. It only takes an hour to get a burger. So regardless of what you have to do, I feel that if I decide to use my other Saturdays to do what you wanted to do, if I want a burger, I feel that you should say, you know what? Yeah, give me a few seconds. Let me put away or stop doing the one thing that I'm doing and come with you to get a burger. And then when I come back, I can finish what I'm doing.
But But that's only if it's those kind of things that you can take the time out to do, though. That's the key. See, that's why
I just feel that a friend you will make time for regardless of what they call you for.
Well, a compromise I would say is this. If you know that every other Saturday that y'all genuinely hang out because that's the way that y'all set that up, because they, like I said, they may have that kind of stuff to where it's like, well, they're off on Saturdays, but that's just the days that they generally choose to do their running personally. It's like, okay, then they're going to take off and hang with you on one Saturday and then do the personal stuff on the other Saturday because that's just how they got it set up. And, well, if you know that the next Saturday that is like, okay, it's not going to be on that Saturday round that y'all have, then how about just going and you make the plans to go wherever y'all go on the next Saturday that y'all hang out, you know?
Right, right.
Because I'm like, yeah.
I would still feel slighted, though. That's just me.
Huh?
I would still just feel slighted, like, well, we got to do what you want to do and not what I want to do. But the next one, because I know we only got
the Saturday,
9 minutes. Just, family.
We can make the plans of where y'all go on that other Saturday, but it's just the fact that, like I said, if you... A person, they're trying to, everybody has their own things that they have to do, and they have the things that they got to do on these certain days. You're not going to always be available to do just because somebody wants you to do it. And even if your day is off or every Saturday like mine is, it does not mean that, okay, well, every Saturday I'm just going to be available to you. You know what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
if I have plans, that is my only day off. So if I do have other stuff to actually do, like I have had, you know, to get up and do stuff on that Saturday because I can't do it through the week, you know? So
right, right.
Saturday I may not be able to go and hang with you because I got this stuff to do. And, yes, it's because I have to do it on this particular Saturday because that's just the way that it fell, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just it might just be those kind of situations. That's just the way that people's lives go sometimes. But if you know that there's a day that y'all are both going to be available to do whatever, then on those days, you know, y'all can make plans back and forth to do whatever. It's like, you know, whatever you want to do this time, because I made the plans last time, whatever, you know, it's just a compromise.
Right, right.
You know, but I wouldn't be slighted by it, only because, just like I said, that's just the way that people's lives go. But when it comes down to making plans to do stuff, that's the thing. You've been planning this for a while, and they've been knowing about it for a while, and they've been saying that they're going to be about it for a while because it's been planned. It wasn't like you made the plans and you're like, well, no, girl, I can't come. I can't be a part of it because I have this going on already, and I've already made those plans. If that's the case, then they can't be slighted because you just didn't stop what you've already had planned to do what they wanted you to do. You know what I'm saying? It's something that was in effect. But if your plans were this big and you've already made those plans with these people, but then something else came up, you know, I'm like, to me, again, that situation should have been taken care of by a friend. And I would be, if I was Nene Lee, I would be, you know, pissed off as well behind that. Because now.
What about forgiving family?
Because if it was.
Can we forgive family?
Huh?
Do we try to forgive family? We can go without forgiving family?
See,
because I know half of her family wasn't eight.
That's a different ball game, too. That's a different ball game, yes, because there is an extra. I think there's an extra dynamic when it comes to family. But it doesn't mean that you have to be stupid for family. You just may be a little bit more lenient with them, I would say. Saying just a little bit more lenient than what you would a friend, you know? But I still look at it like this because I've always said, you know, my friends I treat like they are my family because my friends chose to be my friends if they're my friends, you know what I'm saying?
Which,
you know, nowadays I still look at it like, okay, are these bitches really my friends sometimes? Some people, you know, not everybody. Do they really actually even see me as a friend? Because some of these people don't really talk to me on a regular basis, but when we do talk, you know, we pick back up where we left. And
that's
some people, this is like, okay, they just don't talk at all. So it's like, okay, I could literally go years without seeing some people, but when we see each other, it's like, oh, how you been, kind of. But are we really friends now? You know, we used to be really, really cool and close.
Well, I could not talk to my friend. I have a friend right now. She didn't move back in town, live right around the corner from me. We talk every blue moon. But when we talk, it's just like, she's like a sister. It's like we never left off. Like, it has always been like that. And that's the ones I consider my true friends, when I could just pick up where we left off.
Exactly. And that's essentially what it is. Some of those people, we don't even know where we left off at, so it's been that long. So, yeah, you know, they fell into that acquaintance pocket. You know, when we see each other, oh, it's like, oh, hey, how you been? But, yeah. But it is what it is. But, yeah, but family, you tend to be a little bit more lenient with, only because no matter what, it's like a friend, even though with some family, because I don't see a lot of my family, you know, people that I'm related to, should I say. I don't see a lot of them. And it's like, but at the same time, you can, at any given time, you could be in their presence. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Their family, and they're going to be, you know, somewhere around in the mist. Even if you never see them again, it might be just one of those things that happen, but because, you know, I've been burned by a family member, child, and it's like, yeah, and I've never actually had a chance to truly actually resolve what happened with that family member, should I say? But for my own sake, I've kind of let go what happened because it's like it happened so long ago. And what happened, it truly did actually hit me hard because of the fact that, you know, first of all, this friend, this family member was not one of those family members that I truly, really actually hung with. You know what I'm saying? They were not, we were not that close, but this, so it was like, okay, but for you to actually do something this big to me, and I don't even, you know, we don't even know each other like that, you know what I'm saying? One of those things like, yeah, I truly wanted to beat his ass when I did see him for a long time. Yes, for a long time I wanted to beat his ass when I saw him just so I can get that out. You know what I'm saying?
But do you forgive him now?
I forgive him for what he did, but again, I haven't talked to him since that happened. You know? And so, to be quite honest, if I don't ever see him again in life, you know, what we having for dinner, you know?
Wow.
Whatever.
So,
just like, yeah,
so depending on what the what it is, you can be okay with not forgiving a family member just like you would a friend or an acquaintance.
I say it depends on what happened and who it is. The level of forgiveness of which happens, you know, because to me,
so if you ever saw him again, if you ever saw him again, could you forgive him?
And that's the thing. I can forgive him, but this is the whole thing about it. Like I said, it's about that aftermath, because forgiveness is just saying that, you know what, I'm over what you did. Because he's really over what he did, because that happened, like I said, like a long time ago, damn near 20 years ago. As far as actually being cool with him, because I haven't seen him since it happened. I can't say if there's been a real genuine change. Other people can say it because they've been around him. I haven't been around him. He's never actually even apologized to me for what he actually did. You know what I'm saying? So in 20 years, I haven't seen you. I don't know what the feel is going to be being around you again, but I still know that when it comes down to it, I don't trust you. That's the thing. See, people confuse trusting with forgiving. You know, that's where the confusion comes in at. I can forgive you for what you've done. That doesn't mean that I'm going to just all of a sudden wholeheartedly trust you again, because no, you got to regain that. You got to earn that. Forgiveness, again, that's the bare minimum for me. I can forgive you for what you did because I'm over it. It happened. It's done. It's no longer affecting me. But to trust you, that's something completely different. And that's where I think people need to separate those two things. You don't have to trust somebody to say that you've forgiven them, because what you're forgiving what they did. You're not forgiving who they are. You know, if that's who you truly are and you ain't showing me nothing different, then that's the way that I'm going to see you. And I don't trust you. You know, I don't trust it no further than I can see it. So until you show me something different of you, then that's just what I'm going to actually see of you, period. I don't trust it. But we have to continue this on another day, girl, because, yes, it's getting to that time, girl. So
yes.
Join us next week, child. Same bad time, same bad channel. 8 a.m. y'all time, 9 a.m. my time, Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. You can like us on Facebook at Love and Life. Yes, you can like us individually or follow us individually. I am Raji Love Bryant. Mm-hmm. She is Miss Kia Walker. Mm-hmm. And in case y'all forget or remember or whatever, child, Miss Mahogany Wood.